This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, January 23rd, 2026. ARRO Northwestern Division Director Mark Tharp, KB7HDX, has received the Hall of Honor Award for 35 years of service to the Yakima Search and Rescue Group. Tharp called the award unexpected and very appreciated, adding, "You don't do volunteer work to get awards. You do it because it's needed and makes a difference." Tharp was first licensed in 1989 and now holds an extra class license. He became a ham after spending time with a ham friend while exploring the mountains in northwestern United States. The Yakima Search and Rescue Group continues to grow and help volunteers train and keep over 100 sports-related locations safe, said Tharp. He remembered one particular rescue that involved a young boy and his cat. The boy had been missing for several hours and it was getting dark and cloudy. "We were tired, but we didn't quit. I sat down on a hillside and using an infrared camera, we were able to find him and his cat, cold but okay," lamented Tharp. Tharp is retired now, but as the ARRO Northwestern Division Director, he represents amateur radio operators in Alaska, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. He is a life member of ARRL and a member of the ARRL Diamond Club and the ARRL Maximum Society. Amateur Radio has taken ARRL member Brad Howard, Ph.D., KE8SVT, in many different directions, but last year he stepped back a little to navigate a new direction, emergency medical technician, EMT. It was not unfamiliar territory, though. In 1985, Brad was first certified as an EMT and began working for a private ambulance company, but the long hours and low pay eventually gave way to earning a doctorate in engineering management and an amateur radio license. He's been active in amateur radio emergency service areas for many years and now sits on the board of directors of the Central Ohio Severe Weather Network. But why the change now, back to EMT? For Aries, I've worked alongside many events from marathons to meetings over the years. Working with EMTs and paramedics is hard to work sometimes for a long race, and I'm alone in the field, he said. I've noticed that there are times when medical care is critically needed and needed fast. Now, as a certified EMT, I can help until more medical personnel and equipment arrive at the scene. Being ready to help when needed also applies to amateur radio, of course. It was a connection and a good reason to do both. Today, Howard is still supporting Aries events, helping with severe weather situations and volunteering for FAST, the Red Cross First Aid Services team. As he nears retirement, amateur radio will always be an integral part of his life. For other hams who may be considering making changes, Howard says, keep moving forward. Retirement or life changes don't mean you're done. Make it a whole life experience and make it count and be ready when needed. A member bulletin emailed to all ARRL members included highlights from the annual meeting of the ARRL Board of Directors, which was held in Windsor, Connecticut, January 16th and 17th, 2026. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, who was reelected, led the meeting and welcomed new division vice directors, including Carol Miazzo, KP4MD, Pacific, Marty Newington, AG3L, Atlantic, Mel Parkus, NM7P, Rocky Mountain, and John Kitchens, NS6X, Southwestern. Also elected were First Vice President Kristen McIntyre, K6WX, and International Affairs Vice President Rod Stafford, W6ROD. ARRL Foundation Treasurer Rick Neiswander, K7GM, was also elected as ARRL Second Vice President, succeeding Mike Ritz, W7VO, who held that position since 2024 and resigned on December 31st, 2025. The board also reelected David Minster, NA2AA, as Chief Executive Officer, and Secretary Diane Middleton, W2DLM, as Chief Financial Officer. Board committees met the day before the Administration and Finance Committee approved the 2026 plan, later approved unanimously by the board, amending it to include additional funding for advocacy efforts in Washington, D.C. These efforts include continuing work to advance the Amateur Radio Emergency Preparedness Act through committee and towards final passage. ARRL launched a nationwide grassroots campaign last September aimed at securing passage of the bipartisan federal legislation that would grant amateur radio operators the same rights to install antennas on their property as those enjoyed by users of TV antennas, wireless internet, and flagpoles. The complete minutes of the 2026 annual meeting of the ARRL Board of Directors will be available soon on the ARRO website. The next meeting is scheduled for July 17th and 18th, 2026. Now shipping is the 2026 edition of the ARRL Repeater Directory, and it features over 22,000 listings powered by Repeater Book. New for 2026 is a City Quick Find Index, making it faster and easier than ever to locate nearby repeaters. Each year, the ARRL Repeater Directory continues to set the standard for trusted repeater information, and we're proud to see Repeater Book data play an ongoing role in that effort, said Garrett Dow, KD6KBC of Repeater Book. Our continued partnership helps ensure the directory reflects the most current, carefully curated repeater listings available. You can order the ARRL Repeater Directory from the ARRL online store or through an ARRL publication dealer. A major act of vandalism has disrupted production and shipping of the Dishtronics 10Tech Alpha RX system factory in Dayton, Ohio. According to the company owner, Mike Disip, N8WFF, a group of thieves last month destroyed the factory's underground electrical infrastructure in order to steal the copper cable. The thieves extracted approximately 2,000 feet of half-inch copper cable, weighing approximately 2,800 pounds, explained Disip, with an estimated salvage value of $12,000 and a replacement cost of over $35,000. Disip told the ARRL later that power was restored on January 14th, a month after the break-in, but explained this interruption has impacted the timing for everything we had on schedule by at least 3 months due to loss of time and capital. He says the police investigation is ongoing. In 2016, ARRL reported that Dishtronics had purchased the assets of amateur radio equipment manufacturer 10Tech. John Cadwallader Canode, M4MM of Boyce, Virginia, passed away on January 13, 2026. He was 88 years old. First licensed in 1952, Canode served on the ARRL Board of Directors for 21 years, first as Roanoke Division Vice Director, then Director and Vice President. He was a member of the ARRL Maximum Society President's Class, a life member, and was named ARRL Honorary Vice Director in 2023. A remembrance from his hometown radio club, the Shenandoah Valley Amateur Radio Club, of which he was a founding member, notes that Canode made hundreds of thousands of contacts in his lifetime, earning nearly every top award available to amateur radio operators from every nation in the world. He obtained the DXCC Honor Roll, the DXCC Challenge Award, the CQDX Hall of Fame in 2000, and in 2025, he earned the latest ARRL award, the DXCC Trident. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, January 27th, 2026, at the Enders and Shirley Funeral Home Chapel in Berryville, Virginia. Special thanks to Elizabeth Cottrell, W4EHC, and the Shenandoah Valley Amateur Radio Club for information including in this memorial. Nominations are now being accepted for the 2026 Dayton Hamvention Awards. The awards include Technical Achievement, Special Achievement, Amateur Radio Operator of the Year, and Amateur Radio Club of the Year. Nomination forms can be found at hamvention.org. The nomination process will close February 10th. All awards ceremony will take place on Saturday, May 16th, with winners announced on the website and at a celebration event. This year's Hamvention runs May 15th to the 17th at the Greene County Fair and Expo Center in Xenia, Ohio. 2026 Winter Field Day, organized by the Winter Field Day Association, begins at 1600 UTC on Saturday, January 24th, that's 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and ends at 2159 UTC on Sunday, January 25th, 4:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The 30-hour annual event encourages amateur radio operators to practice and improve their skills and preparedness during any kind of disaster. Stations may begin setting up no earlier than 1600 UTC, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday, but cumulative setup time shall not exceed 12 hours. All amateur bands may be used except for 12, 17, 30, and 60 meters, and all modes may be used except WSJT modes. There will also be transmissions from the Winter Field Day Bulletin from three U.S. states, Alabama, Wisconsin, and California, and Ireland, using various modes, times, and frequencies. Get the completed rules at winterfieldday.org. Former FCC official John B. Johnston, W3BE of Deerwood, Maryland, passed away on January 7, 2026. He was 98 years old. Born in Zanesville, Ohio, Johnston was a World War II veteran and served in the Pacific Theater. He was first licensed on March 15, 1954 as KN2HHR. Following military service and college, he worked for the General Electric Company and then as an engineer for the FCC. He retired in 1998 as branch chief in the Private Radio Bureau, specializing in amateur radio service. ARRO Radio Sport and Regulatory Information Manager Bart Janke, W9JJ, reflected on his passing, saying that Johnny was heavily involved in the changing landscape of FCC regulations, including the implementation of the volunteer examiner system and no-code amateur radio licenses. He would attend the annual National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators meetings, bringing key FCC staff from D.C. and Gettysburg to support our work, and later volunteering for the NCVEC and its question pool committee after his retirement. Johnston often participated in the FCC forum at Dayton Hamvention and was honored as Hamvention Ham of the Year in 1991. He held several roles for the Quarter Century Wireless Association, including president from 2004 to 2008. Johnston also authored articles for several radio publications, including QST, and was an ARRL Charter Life member. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here now with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. If you're thinking about making some satellite contacts and have never done it, this can be overwhelming. How do you find out what satellite you can use? How do you find out where the satellite is? How do you know the frequencies to transmit and receive? Start by visiting AMSAT.org. Once there, you'll want to look at the options on the Satellite Resources tab. I would start with the Frequencies tab, and then FM satellites and live FM satellites. The FM satellites will be easiest for beginners. Write down the transmit and receive frequencies for the ISS and SO50. Once you make some contacts on these two satellites, you can give some of the other FM satellites a try. Next, click on Current Satellite Status on the same Satellite Resources tab. Look for the ISS and SO50. And you want to see if they have blue highlighted boxes. This means the satellite has been heard and is operational. Now, where is the satellite in relationship to your location? Click on TLEs and Past Prediction Tools. Also under the Satellite Resources tab, click on AMSAT Satellite Prediction Tools. Select the satellite you want past predictions for, enter your lat long, and the tool will tell you the next passes for that particular satellite. This should get you started with what satellite to try, what frequencies, and where it is. Now it is up to you to point your antenna in the correct direction with your radio tuned and listen. This is the important part. Do not transmit unless you hear someone on the satellite. The reason is you may not have the correct Doppler correction for the downlink frequency and not hearing everyone. You would transmit and others will hear you and come back to you, but you're not hearing them. Thus, you could be the cause of unintentional QRM. Once you hear the satellite, transmit. I would suggest listening, hearing a call, and calling that person. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
And thanks, Bruce, for that report. Just ahead on Radio Sport this week, January 23rd through the 25th, the CQ 160-meter contest, that's CW. The REF contest, that's CW as well. The Bardig Ready Sprint contest, that's digital. January 24th through the 25th as well. Winter Field Day, CW, phone and digital. January 25th and 26th, the Australia Day contest, CW, phone and digital. And on January 28th, SKCC Sprint, that is CW. Remember to visit the ARRL contest calendar for more events and information. Upcoming section state and division conventions, January 30th through the 31st, the Jackson MS Capital City Hamfest, ARRL Mississippi State Convention, that's in Jackson, Mississippi. February 7th, the Hendricks County Hamfest, hosting the ARRL Indiana Section Convention, that's in Danville, Indiana. And February 13th through the 15th, the Orlando Hamcation, hosting the ARRL Southeastern Division Convention in Orlando, Florida. And finally this week, thanks to the Benton County Radio Operators Club in Benton County, Arizona, for airing the ARRL Audio News on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.